This is Bronson Hermuth coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee. I have the honor today to be sitting in the Nashville Musician Union with guitar player legend, Mr. Pat Flynn. Thank you for doing this, Pat.
Bronson, I'm honored you'd ask me. Thanks for having me.
I've always been curious, man. When did you come to Nashville and how'd you come to be here?
I came here to join a band. I came here in 1981 to join a revamped Newgrass Revival. Newgrass Revival was a band that was pretty much very strong in their own genre, bluegrass, and they had become Leon Russell's, not only his opening act, but his band and involved with him in his recording career. After a couple years of that, they split up, and two of the guys went back home to Kentucky, so Sam Bush and John Cowan decided to revamp the band and to bring Bela Fleck in from New York and me in from L.A., and meet up in Nashville and try to do something.
So where were you actually born?
When was I born?
No, where?
I was born in Hollywood, California.
So you are from California.
Yeah, and I grew up in Redondo Beach, California, during the whole, our local band, Bronson, was the Beach Boys.
Wow.
I moved to Thousand Oaks, California to finish high school. Our local dance, Friday night dance that you go to with your friends, Casey Kasem was the host. The Beach Boys were the local band. I drove out, saw Buck Owens and Don Rich. I saw the Beatles at Dodger Stadium. I saw Poco when they were Pogo at the Troubadour. I saw Jackson Browne when he was an opening act that nobody paid any attention to Linda Ronstadt. I saw Glenn Frey when he was trying to put a band together. I didn't realize how lucky I was to be in a special place until later on when I looked back on it. But at that time, Bronson, after school, instead of riding our bikes around in the neighborhood, we went down the street to see where the action is being filmed with Dick Clark. I mean, it was... It was an amazing place to be and to grow up. As I say, you know, you look back on it and you realize after the fact how special it was.
So how old were you when you started playing guitar?
I was 8 years old. My parents wouldn't buy me drums. They refused. I was campaigning for drums for Christmas. You know how you get the Sears catalog out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When that Sears catalog comes, baby, it's serious Christmas time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And you turn it until the pages wear out. Well, I had a drum set all picked out, and to give my parents the idea of how good I was going to be, I got a small trash can top, Bronson, and for sticks, I used a miniature billiard, you know those miniature billiard tables?
Yeah.
Those two cues, and I was banging on the thing, letting them know how great I was, and they absolutely refused. So as a makeup gift, they got my brother and I two Harmony acoustic guitars from the Sears catalog.
Very cool.
And I thought, okay, I'll try that.
So now you had lessons?
No, never.
Just taught yourself?
Taught myself. Of course, later I did. When I aspired to be a studio musician in L.A. as a high school kid and, you know, got in by a serendipitous. I didn't have lessons until much later in my life. When I went into the studios in L.A. as a kid and encountered arrangers and their charts, I realized I needed to back up. But at the time, it was just getting records with your buddies and trying to figure out what the chords were. One thing that was maybe different for me than it was for my buddies who play Bronson was that I knew who the studio players were. Now, I'm not sure how I knew that because their names weren't listed on the LPs, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's a recent innovation to put session guys for credit.
Right.
Back in the day when you and I were listening to records, they didn't have names on there. But for however reason, maybe it's because I was in that area, I knew who Hal Blaine and Joe Osborne. I knew who Glenn Campbell and Leon Russell and Larry Nechtel and all those. I knew who those guys were. Phil Spector, Jack Nietzsche. So I always was aware of the guys that played on the records. James Burton was a big hero. I always knew as I was listening to the records, you know. But as far as trying to play them, you remember when the Beatles stereos first came out?
Oh, yeah.
And they were such whatever the moron engineer was at Capitol, the idea of a stereo was you put the track on one side and the vocals on the other. So you could take it as Beatles LP, put it on your record player, and turn off the left side and just hear the vocals.
Right.
And then turn on the right side and just hear the track. It was awful. If I were the Beatles, I would have been furious. Well, they were. But it got us the track isolated so we could hear what was going on. So I just figured it out from records and from what other guys knew.